Jay Sekulow, the president says defeating ISIS through a climate change conference.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And we salute the people of Paris for insisting this crucial conference go on. An act of defiance that proves nothing will deter us from building the future we want for our children. What greater rejection of those who would tear down our world than marshaling our best efforts to save it? For all the challenges we face, the growing threat of climate change could define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan now warning U.S. citizens to take extreme caution if moving around Kabul. The embassy warns that it has received credible reports that an attack is planned within the next 48 hours. The State Department warning against travel to the country, telling Americans if you're already there, consider leaving.
ISIS is in 30 different countries. They control 8 provinces of countries. They've got a reach that goes throughout Europe and North America. So to talk about containment is really a joke. The reality is that ISIS may be geographically contained in Syria and Iraq, but their efforts around the world to project terrorism and to commit terrorism is as robust today as it's ever been.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. There is trouble brewing again in the Middle East. We're going to get into that. Iran, ready for this, folks? Threatening already to cancel the nuclear deal because of a probe by the IAEA. That's happening. And President Obama says we are showing defiance to the terrorists. Ready for this, folks? By having a climate change conference in Paris. That's how the president's dealing with the issue of terrorism. We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, your reaction first to the situation with Iran. This is very troubling, not shocking. Should have never signed the deal with Iran in the first place. But then now they're threatening the Iranians. The deal, the paper is not even dry. Of course, wait a minute. There is no paper. That's right. Nothing was signed. So the deal isn't even done, and they're already backing out.
That's right. The Iranians, and they have no legal standing here. There's nothing legally binding about the plan that was put together by the P5 plus one in Iran. And so ultimately, you've got Iran able to play this game, which is a very dangerous one. The entire process, they can do this back and forth, because ultimately there is no immediate retribution for them violating the deal or not abiding by every provision of the deal in a timely manner. And now with Russia creating this new relationship with Iran, working with Iran directly in the battle in Syria, in the war in Syria, you've got a very dangerous situation unfolding. And Iran obviously is showing everyone how serious they take this so-called deal.
So here's what Iran's saying. Iran's saying they're threatening to cancel the nuclear deal with world powers unless an investigation into the country's alleged nuclear-related weapons research is canceled. So exactly what the IAEA is supposed to do, the Iranians are saying, if you continue doing this, we're going to cancel this deal. This is while the president's in Paris, talking about climate change as a way to deal with terrorists. We're taking your calls and comments about all this at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me encourage you also, folks, we are in the last day. Today is it for our matching challenge for the month of November. Tonight is our deadline at 12 o'clock. We are talking about in an email that I've sent out today. You'll be getting it if you're on our email list. We've mobilized our offices right now in Pakistan, Africa, and Jerusalem to protect persecuted Christians. Of course, working on that in Washington, D.C. as well. We had a victory where we helped free girls in Kenya from a form of sex slavery, saved Christians facing execution in Sudan and Iran, and defended Christians facing brutal persecution in Pakistani courts. And we're still working on the situation with 4 Americans currently held in Iranian prisons. So we're asking for your support. We're in a matching challenge today. This is the last day for the month of November. So go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We'll be back with your comments at 800-684-3110.
Mm-hmm. In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So Iran is saying the deal is basically off. The deal that never happened is basically off because the IAEA, which is the Inspector General's arm of the UN, is conducting investigations. And Jordan, they're basing that and saying, because of that, we want no we're going to cancel the whole deal.
Yeah, that's right. And so we saw this brewing in the language that was used in this joint cooperation, this plan, and it was very vague, talking about specific to the Iranian, what counted as a military site, would they have access to those military sites, who could make that decision. And now, because of the IAEA saying it's not black and white, and it certainly isn't in the agreement, you've got Iran saying that they will pull out of this deal if they continue to receive this kind of pressure. I mean, this is words alone, pressure alone from the IAEA on potential future inspections, and that's proving too much for the Iranians. And it's at a time when the whole region is in so much turmoil that you have to wonder if they are, of course, seizing on this intentionally.
Yeah, I think this is a reality, folks, that we've got to deal with here. I mean, this is the president signing this deal with the Iranians. The Iranians never had any intention whatsoever to deal with this. And the end result of this is they're basically saying, if you're going to do these inspections, we're not going to do this deal. So what do you expect? And that's exactly what's happened. At the same time, this is what the president thinks is the great defining moment for our century, more dramatically than any other issue. Now, folks, you can't make this up. I'm playing this for you. This is President Obama in Paris.
For all the challenges we face, the growing threat of climate change could define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other.
For all the challenges we face, climate change is the great threat that could define the contours of the century more dramatically than any other? Tell that to the people right now in Syria and Iraq. Tell that to the people that are being run out of their homes. Tell that to the refugees. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. The president's got his focus. His focus is climate change. Laura's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on line one. If you want to talk to us, folks, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Laura?
Yes. Thank you, Jay, for all that you do. But get right to it. Who created ISIS? Your President Obama. He created this. You know, you don't hear about Al-Qaeda anymore. You hear about ISIS, and we created ISIS. We went in Syria, and we went, you know, we created this war. And how many times have you seen him over and over say how he's taken troops out of Iran, Iraq,
yep,
and now he's created this again. He created this.
Well, we've said our position from the American Center for Law and Justice, and we have a position paper up on this, actually, goes through that very same point. And what we're saying is this, that what happened was when we left Iraq without a status of force agreement, which is what happened, which means you'd keep a number of troops there. That created a vacuum. Once that vacuum was created, who comes in to fill it? A guy that we actually had in prison, and that is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the Khalif Ibrahim, as he calls himself. And we had that whole situation. We created the vacuum, we being the United States, by the president not getting a status of force agreement. The net effect of that has been this disaster with ISIS. And in fact, in a real sense, Laura, you're right. The president's inaction or failure to get that status of force agreement is what created the vacuum. Now, the problem is there hasn't been a coherent strategy on how to deal with ISIS. And, Jordan, the conflict still, even this weekend, as I was evaluating the news topics and the discussions that were coming in, even this weekend, part of the discussion is the president still wanting Bashar Assad out and the Russians wanting Assad as their ally in. And to me, that is complicating. And not that Assad's good. He's a bad guy. But what's behind it could be much worse, in my view. We don't know who's behind it, who would be the next leadership in the situation. And you've got this horrible vacuum with Russia right now running it from the front.
That's right. So you've got Russia and Iran taking charge with the Assad government, the Syrian military, versus some remnants of the Free Syrian Army. And we saw them involved in the not the downing of the Russian plane that was done by Turkey, but the treatment of the pilots afterwards, and they claim to have killed those pilots and also a helicopter that was down. And so you've got this very complicated matter, which I think becomes more complicated by the Obama administration's own policy, which is to try and still topple the Assad regime while also toppling ISIS.
Right.
It's a multifaceted war. And really, who is next? Another Sunni somewhat radical regime, which would put a lot of people in jeopardy as well. And I think that's why you haven't seen the Syrian people taking up sides in mass numbers.
You know, it's interesting. Neon String on Periscope just tweeted into us. Is that technically correct, tweeted in or sent into us? Is Obama lying or delusional? Well, listen to Mike Morrell, former CIA deputy director. This was just from about a week ago on PBS. Listen to what he says about why we're not engaging the way we should.
Prior to Paris, there seemed to have been a judgment that, look, we don't want to destroy these oil tankers because it's going to create environmental damage.
Well, wait a minute. We're not going to destroy the oil tankers, which is how they're getting their money, because there's going to be environmental damage. Okay, that's what Mike Morrell said is the position of the president prior to Paris. Again, let me read it, and then we'll play the rest of it. Prior to Paris, there seemed to have been a judgment that, look, we don't want to destroy these oil tankers because it's going to create environmental damage. And here you go next.
Oil wells, actually hitting oil wells that ISIS controls because we didn't want to do environmental damage and we didn't want to destroy that infrastructure.
So we didn't go after their money, which is the oil, because we were concerned about environmental impact. And then, of course, you got the president saying climate change, Jordan, is the most important issue of our time. There is this bizarre wrong logic, but logic nonetheless in the president's eyes, or a consistency, I will say, with this delusional position that, you know, we've got an environmental crisis and that's the real problem that we're dealing with. And we sure don't want to knock out ISIS's, you know, economic power if we've got to destroy oil tankers because that'll create an environmental damage.
That's right. And so it tells you where the priorities are with the administration. It sounds crazy. But then think about it for a moment. It's not out of line of where the Obama administration is. It's not out of line about what the president's been saying over the weekend in Paris during these climate talks, that's the greatest peril to a civilization and the world and people and human beings is the climate issues, not poverty, not terrorism, not the poor standard of living that most people are experiencing in these massively developing countries like China or India with over a billion people in each and the conditions there. No, it's climate change. And at the end of the day, the fact that they may have not carried out strikes because of that impact, it sounds absurd. But if you actually put it with their logic and their reasoning, it's not outside of where they would be. And I would add to that, you know, there's a lot of talk about when all these world leaders gather, 100 plus world leaders gather in Paris, all flying in on giant individual airplanes. I mean, the impact on the climate's huge. You know, instead of using new technologies to communicate, they've all got to be there to show this sign, to do this old school way. And you have to wonder, okay, if they're so serious about this, would they still be having these kind of events? And is it really, it's not, I don't think it's just a distraction issue. I honestly believe this is where they are on the issues.
You know, it's interesting. I'm watching the Facebook feed right now and some of the comments that are coming in, and that people are wondering, does this, I mean, Ellen from Facebook basically said, is President Obama's position, it seems to be completely irrational. But, and I think, Ellen, you're right, it is irrational. The problem is, he actually believes this, that the environmental impact should stop our troops from taking out ISIS oil wells, which is where they're getting their money. And by the way, they're getting that money utilizing Turkey. So that's the reality of what's happening on the ground. And this is what we're dealing with as a country, and we're having to. And by the way, we've marshaled our offices around the world to deal with these issues. So we're dealing with it head on. We're not going to stop for a moment. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Ike's calling from White Plains, Maryland. Hi, Ike, you're on the air.
God bless you, Jay,
thanks,
your crew, and all that you do. And
thanks.
I pray for you every night.
We appreciate that.
Yes. If I were to take my job as lightheartedly as Obama does, I would be fired. What can we do to remove him from office?
None of these are impeachable offenses. I mean, he didn't get fired. He got reelected. He got rehired. And so what we always say is elections have real consequences, and this is the consequence of an election. This is – President didn't run away from these policies. When he makes a statement like, I'm going to play you right now, Bill, Ike, this is what he believes. I mean, he really believes that the climate change is the end-all, be-all. Here's what he said.
And we salute the people of Paris for insisting this crucial conference go on, an act of defiance that proves nothing will deter us from building the future we want for our children. What greater rejection of those who would tear down our world than marshaling our best efforts to save it?
How about marshaling our military to end it? That might be the best way to do it. All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me ask you to do us a favor. We're in the very last day of our November matching challenge. We're about $300,000 behind for our goal, so we're behind here. We could really use your help. Here's how it works. Any amount you donate to us, we're getting a matching gift for. So if you donate $20, we get 40, 40s, 80, 80s, 160. You see how it works. It's tax deductible. This, if you enjoy the broadcast, if you appreciate the information we're giving out, if you appreciate our work around the globe and also, of course, in the United States, then do me a favor, do all of us a favor, and that is support the work of the ACLJ. Simply go to ACLJ.org. This is the easiest way. ACLJ.org. Go to the Donate Now button. It takes literally a minute, and I appreciate you donating. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for you. You can also call in your pledge at 1-877-989-2255, but if we, tonight is our cutoff, so like I said, we're about $300,000 short from where we want to be, so it's either ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. But if you want to talk to us on air, part of the conversation, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Broadcast, everyone. Skip Ash, by the way, is joining us. He's senior counsel for the ACLJ in charge of our national security practice. Kevin from Facebook writes, it's becoming increasingly clear to me that Obama is using the excuse of climate change to hide the fact that he won't go after ISIS. I think he thinks that is going after ISIS, actually. I mean, that's what the president said. It is going after ISIS. Now, here's what's happened in Berlin. So there's been a large influx of Syrian refugees that have gone into Europe. We've discussed that on the broadcast last week. This is what's happened. The Paris attacks have raised, according to the Wall Street Journal, Paris attacks have raised fears of terrorists slipping into Europe by posing as refugees. We knew that. But in Germany, the top migrant destination, that's where most are going, security officials have another worry. Ready for this? Local extremists, jihadists basically, will recruit the newcomers to join the Islamist cause once they arrive. That's what Germany's worried about right now. Now, Skip, right before the break, we were talking to our Facebook and Periscope friends. You had mentioned, I had talked about also, in addition to this problem with the refugees and this whole issue in the Middle East, the president doing this climate change thing, you've got Iran saying, hey, if you don't knock off these IAEA investigations, these Atomic Energy Commission investigations, we're going to call off the Iranian nuclear deal that we just were involved with. And you had two points that need to be really, really, I think, taken to heart here of what this really means.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing is, they have no legal obligation to carry these out because, as our Secretary of State negotiated this, he never required them that they would sign it. Normally, when you have agreement, both sides have to agree, and right, they indicate that by signing it. They never signed it, so they have no legal obligation. And the fact that they are so concerned about the IAEA coming in to check on them is another indication that their real goal is to put together a nuclear weapon as soon as they can, and they want to do it right under our noses, and they're playing us like fools.
Yeah, I completely, Skip's got it exactly correct. Carol's calling from Houghton, New York, on line three. Carol?
Hi. Hey. I was just kind of chuckling to myself if there's anything funny about this, but last week you were reporting that President Obama mentioned, because of the Syrian lack of enthusiasm over getting all these Syrians in here, he said, we should not make bad decisions based on deception or an exaggeration of risks. And
right,
I thought, well, now, if you just switch that comment to the climate change comment, that would be right. So, you know, he's right, but just the wrong subject.
Well, this is what Jordan said. This is how he operates. I mean, this isn't any surprise. This is the calculated decisions that the administration is putting forward in their position. So this isn't like, you know, kind of bait and switch. This is what they're doing.
They prioritized the issues like climate change and made that threat very real. And I think in a way that most people can't relate to. I mean, they're trying to make us feel like the climate change issue is like the terror threat, and the terror threat is not a big deal. I mean, so it's this reversal of where most Americans are. It just seems very out of touch with the reality that we're facing as human beings on a daily basis.
Yep.
Right now, if governments want to handle these things, make the environment cleaner, and we certainly that could be done in the in parts of the developing world, they can do this without. It doesn't take worldwide action from the people. This is part of kind of a government responsibility. Let these try to work with these governments to clean up their act, but it's not the greatest threat to every American right now on a daily basis.
So James from Periscope, I guess, says IAEA needs to be looking into the Iranian activities right now, which they are, by the way. The investigation is ongoing. The Iranians are saying it's got to stop. So James, that's what's happening there. Kathy on Facebook said, we've always known that Iran was looking for a nuclear weapon, and as Skip mentioned, they didn't sign anything that prohibits them from doing it, really. This is like a gentleman's agreement with the Iranians. I mean, this is how absurd that is. Darlene from Facebook writes, how is having a climate change conference going after ISIS? It's not. But we have an opposing view, and we always take those too. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Renee is calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Renee, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air with an opposing view.
Yeah, I just want to say that I commend President Obama for bringing climate change awareness around. I don't want to minimize what's going on in the Middle East and with ISIS and everything. However, climate change is number one for humans as far as the human race goes, and it is something
that is worldwide. Do you really think it's
worldwide.
Number one for humans in Syria and Iraq?
Yes, actually, I do.
You think it's more? Do you think climate change is more of a threat to those mothers and fathers that are seeing their kids put into slavery, women sold into slavery, sons being beheaded? You think that climate change, Renee, is more of a threat than that?
Yes, we're going to have fishless oceans in 30 years.
You really believe we're going to have fishless oceans in 30 years?
Underwater as soon as the barometer changes by 2 degrees.
So let me ask you this, Renee. So if you knew that there was a caravan of ISIS operatives that had oil rigs with them because they're trying to sell their oil, and they're going to take that money and use that money to behead people, to kill people. Would you not have, if you were the president of the United States, Renee, would you say you have no right to engage that because that will create an environmental hazard?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I commend him for bringing environmental issues to light because
do you think it's appropriate to do that in light of what happened in Paris? Do you think that's the time?
I think that the Paris attacks were something to just distract everybody from what's going on. Did you know that it takes 660 gallons of water to eat one hamburger a day? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, don't eat a So, Renee, do you eat hamburgers?
No.
Okay, well, good. Then you're saving 660 gallons of water a day. What does that have to do with? Explain to me what that has to do with ISIS.
It has a lot to do with the human race continuing on this planet.
Do you actually believe in 30 years we will have no fish in the oceans?
Oceans, yes. Look it up online.
Yeah, I don't know where you're reading this from, but if you think that's the greatest, you know what? I wish that was the greatest threat in the world. Frankly, how about that? I wish that was the greatest threat. It's not. Radical jihadists are the greatest threat. I understand what you're saying. You can commend the president. It's a free country. That's why we let you come on the air. Nothing you said I agree with. Nothing. But it's a free country, and I'm glad you listened. But, you know, if that's the reality of what we're dealing with in the American populace, which I know it's not, this tells you the nature of the problem. Jordan and Skip, I want you both to comment on this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody can have their own opinions on this. It's not very settled, and that's why you're not seeing the world come together with one clear plan of action. And so with all these talks, with all these summits, you could start applying just getting there to the event as a reason not to have it. And so ultimately, listen, you're going to have the big developing countries who are still going through their industrial revolutions, like India and China, standing in the way of any kind of major change anyways. And those are the countries where we could do a lot more. I think a lot more pressure because of the pollutants going on. We've done a lot in our country to stop that.
Skip, your thoughts?
And my thoughts are these. Let's assume that climate change is happening. What's more important right now is the fact that we need to go after their oil so they run out of money, because if they have enough money, they're going to be obtaining weapons of mass destruction. And they're going to be unleashing those in Western Europe and in the United States. And that's going to cause a much more long-lasting environmental problem than the immediate problem of destroying oil tankers and destroying oil.
So here's my vote. If there's an oil tanker that's going out of ISIS control, if I was president of the United States, I would seek and destroy and authorize the attack. That's what I would do. Stop the flow of money. Immediately. I don't think we're not going to have fish in 30 years. That's just my view. People are saying we need to pray for the fish on Facebook. let me tell you, I think the fish are going to be fine. But, and if you don't want to eat a hamburger, don't eat a hamburger. But, I mean, this is the reality of this is ridiculous. And the president's got people believing this, though. That's the problem. Hey, we're here for another 30 minutes. Remember, you can listen to the audio. And we're streaming that at ACLJ.org, Facebook and Periscope and Sirius XM. You've got the whole broadcast here. Hey, folks, this is the last of the matching challenge. ACLJ.org. Last day here for November. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Your support makes a huge difference. This is the last day today. Back with more in a moment.
Now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
We'll be right back. last call, for the opposition call, and we were talking during the break about, does she really believe that there's going to be no fish in the ocean in 30 years and that that's a greater threat to mankind than what's going on right now? That, as Skip, as you said, get a weapon of mass destruction in the hands of ISIS, I would tend to think would be more dangerous. But that's just me. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, this is an interesting report. So the Weather Channel said because of increased fish consumption, it could leave our oceans empty by 2050. It had nothing to do with climate change. It's if we're eating too much fish, according to the people at the Weather Channel. But Skip lives on the coast, and it seems Skip plenty of fish, right?
Right.
No problem there. All right. We're taking your calls. We're talking about the situation with Iran saying we want out before we're in. And then, of course, the situation, the president saying, don't worry, we're going after ISIS through climate change. I'm going to go ahead and take a phone call. Evan's calling from Passaic, New Jersey on line 5. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jay. Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you and your team. I just want to see if I got this right, because I'm coming up with 2 + 2 = 3 on this fact check.
All right.
Obamacare, failed policy. Benghazi, failed policy and inaction. Boko Haram, failed policy and inaction. Crimea, failed policy. Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, failed policy. Planned Parenthood, IRS, failed policy. Syrian refugees, failed policy. Oh, I'm sorry, the solution? Climate change meeting. Wow, this is fantastic. 2 + 2 = 3 now, Jay.
Well, he believes this. I mean, Jordan, this is not... Listen, he ran on this. I mean, the climate change issue for the president is right now more pressing than ISIS. That's the way it is.
Yeah, and that's how they've prioritized things. Even, you know, so they're making decisions on how to defeat ISIS based off climate impact and the impact that, you know, taking out a tanker, taking out a truck, an oil truck, that the impact that will have on the environment, not the impact that will have on destroying ISIS and taking out their flow of resources. But again, it's where this administration has been, so it's not surprising that it's permeated every aspect of their policy, even when it comes to terrorism, that somehow we're talking about climate in the same phrase, and we're even basing those decisions based off the impact that potentially could have.
Skip, I want to go to this Iran situation. For those just joining us here that may be hearing us taped delayed or may be hearing us on our replays, Iran has said that if the IAEA continues its investigation into their nuclear situation, that they're going to call off the deal with that they just did with the West. And you bring up 2 points. One is there is no deal because nothing was signed, which people don't realize that. There's no signed document here. And number two, this just shows what they wanted, which was their nuclear ambitions. How serious do you think this is?
I think it's very serious. We have to consider the type of Islam that they propagate over in Iran, and that's Shia Islam, which is apocalyptic. And therefore, they keep saying, if we ever get this bomb, we are going to use it against the little Satan, Israel, and against the great Satan, the United States. And they've had people in leadership over there for a long time who are willing to actually do those things. With the Russians, we were able to, because we had nuclear weapons, they didn't want to die. Okay, so you could reach a sort of an understanding. But what happens when people value death and martyrdom above everything else? Then you have a problem, so you have to make sure they never get the weapons to begin with.
You know, this is a serious situation, and we are operating on this, by the way, in our government affairs office. Thans in meetings right now. Well, he's at the reason Thans aren't on today, they have a Monday meeting where he's meeting with leadership on these topics. So this is front and center. The Syrian refugee issue, because that vote could come up this week, by the way. They're saying in the Senate, we're going to keep an eye on that. But also, of course, the situation as it exists right now on so many issues that we're dealing with and fans at that meeting right now. So the ACLJ touching all of these areas through our offices in Jerusalem, Pakistan, Africa, Moscow. You know, when that plane went down in Turkey, we had the papers up on Turkey. Joseph Williams from our staff did the piece on NATO because the NATO issue came in. We had the resources available. By the way, if you go to the Oxford Center website, there's a great series of papers on Turkey. For our friends on Facebook and Periscope, we're putting up the web addresses up there, Oxford Policy Center, and you can get a lot of information there. We're going to put some information up on Iran as well on that very, very soon. Taking more of your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org, of course, the easiest way.
In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Trish from Facebook has a great post she gave, a comment she put in our comment section on our, as we're broadcasting this live on Facebook mentions. Spoiler alert, I read the last chapter of the good book, The World Doesn't End with Climate Change. Good point. I should have used that myself, but I'm glad you brought that up, Trish. We're taking your phone calls. I do want to ask this really quickly, Skip. I mean, the situation with the Iranians, I think this is really, you know, you got four Americans still held hostage in Iran. Four. And actually now they're saying it's a fifth and maybe a sixth because they picked up two in the last week. They are thumbing their nose at the world. They're holding our people hostage and they're thumbing their nose at the world.
Oh, absolutely. They're making the United States and this administration look like fools. Because we had the leverage, we had the authority, we could have taken additional action against them, and we gave it all away for an agreement, so-called agreement, that's not even signed by the other side. We're going to pass over to them between $100 and $150 billion so they can fund their nuclear program and they can fund terrorism around the world, and we think we have a victory. This administration thinks they won something great. We are delusional. It's amazing to me that anybody, any of our allies, trusts us after our inability to take any cognition of what the truth is.
Jordan, what's the rationale for not having this as a signed agreement?
I don't think they could have gotten it. I think ultimately that wasn't possible, that the Iranians would not have signed any kind of real binding agreement. So what they knew is that if they could get the world to remove sanctions, and though that the world could, in the U.S., can threaten to place those sanctions back into force and somehow have this snapback procedures. That's not how the international community works. So while the U.S. could do something individually on its own as a country to get the rest of the world to make this decision with the economic impact it could have, the politics domestically, much more difficult. And so I think they knew once they could get the world to drop its guard to some extent, that it would take decades before they would be fully, these economic sanctions could be reimposed on them, even if they violate the agreement.
You know, John on Facebook wrote that, what if Iran gets a nuclear weapon and deploys it? The environmental threat will matter then because the nuclear winter that will follow. Right. Those are real threats. Bill from Cheyenne, Wyoming's on. Bill, you've been holding a long time. I'm going to send you our book, Rise of ISIS.
Okay. I've already got a copy, actually.
Well, then I'll send you Undemocratic if you don't have that.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Bill.
I don't know how my comment fits into this, but like the gentleman said, all the policies that Obama put up, that have failed, and yet I realized this weekend how far out of touch they are in the fact that he's forgotten about those two brothers that pulled that stunt with the Boston Marathon.
Yep.
and he's talking like we're perfectly okay. I he's out of touch.
Well, look, he's got a worldview, and his worldview is simply that you eliminate the problem by avoiding it. And I think that's what we've done in Syria. I mean, we have abandoned our role as leaders. Abandoned our role as leaders to the Russians. And that's, you know, the Russian-Iran-Syria alliance, Skip, is something we're starting to look at, is very, very potentially game-changing in the Middle East.
It really is. The United States is withdrawing so fast that we are creating a vacuum, and we're sucking in the Iranians and the Russians who have wanted to dominate the Middle East for decades. So what we're doing is we are getting out, and they're rushing in, and it's going to take a long time to move them back out, because once they get their roots in that area, it's going to take a long time to reestablish our credibility and any power that we might want to exercise in that region. Plus, it creates a situation where war may expand, and it may create an arms race in the Middle East, because the Saudis, the Egyptians, and others may say, if the Iranians get nukes, we need to have nukes for protection purposes,
exactly.
In which case then we have a nuclearized Middle East, which is a disaster.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Wilbur, you've also been holding for a long time. I'm going to send you a copy of our book as well. Go ahead, Wilbur.
Yes, ever since we had the global warming, we haven't heard the word pollution out of anybody.
Right.
Greenhouses produce oxygen, not CO2. And the reason they put the glass in to let the light through to grow the plants, because they found out in California when they bought those aircraft hangars from World War II and planted marijuana plants in there, they died. And they figured what was wrong, and they needed natural light. So the greenhouse is not as warm. My friend owned a greenhouse I went to school with, and I've been in there, and they heated that year-round.
But this is a religion to them. I mean, the global warming issue, Jordan, they don't call it now. They call it climate change. That, you don't call it global warming anymore, Wilbur, for some of the reasons you said. But this climate change, but to put this on the same plane, Jordan, as terrorism, let's play that bite from President Obama again. I think we have to play it. Where he says, you know, this is the challenge of our time. This is the most significant. This is what the president said.
For all the challenges we face, the growing threat of climate change could define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other.
More dramatically, Jordan, than any other. Climate change. But he believes this.
They do believe this. And so this is ultimately the issue that they're bought into as the great threat. And I think it's where the divide is in so much of the world, is we see the threat of continued Islamic terrorism on the rise, spreading in new forms, filling up vacuums whenever those are created. And instead of focusing on those threats, and still, you know, plenty of time, plenty of advisors, plenty of federal bureaucracy to focus on climate issues. But the way they highlight it, and I think try to pressure people and even scare people into thinking that this is the issue that is most threatening to their lives, when ultimately this threat of terrorism is just hanging over everyone's head right now.
It's a very, very serious situation. By the way, folks, if you're not getting the emails from the ACLJ, let me encourage you to sign up for our email list. I've got one that's out today on our urgent deadline, and I'm bringing it up midsection here because it's important, folks. We are aggressively defending and battling for those being persecuted from their faith in the Middle East. We've mobilized our global offices in Pakistan, Africa, and in the Middle East. We've helped free girls in Kenya. This is recently, by the way, a recent victory from a form of sex slavery, saved Christians facing execution in Sudan and Iran, and defended Christians facing brutal persecution in Pakistani courts. And we're still working on getting the release of Americans held captive in Iran right now. So that the work for Jason Rezaian, Saeed Abedini, Amir Hekmati, all that work continues. All that goes on. We've even protected war heroes' memorials. You know that. We've defended Christians in the military. We're working on the situation for Sergeant Martland. That's all going on right now. We need your help. We're in about $300,000 behind on our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. I'm just going to encourage you to go to aclj.org, donate now. Any amount, tax deductible, we get the match for, or 1-877-989-2255. So either aclj.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to go back to the phones, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Andrea is calling from Dallas, Texas. Andrea, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Jay, what is your opinion as far as this? This is so frustrating to me. It seems like Obama cares more about how Iran sees him than how the American people see him. What is your opinion on that?
Well, he has a globalist worldview. I think you've touched something there that's real. He has a globalist worldview. And what that means is he believes that what he's doing is impacting the greater good, the global issues. And he thinks America ultimately benefits by that, but he's got a globalist perspective. The problem with this is it's not necessarily a perspective, I think, of a lot of the American people, but enough people that elected him again. So, you know, he certainly got the majority in the last election again. So there are people that believe the same way the president does, this kind of globalist worldview. The problem is it's failed. And, Andrea, this is the real problem. It has failed, and it's failed miserably. The Middle East is a disaster. Skip just said this. Let Skip say it again. Russia, Iran, and Syria, this is an unholy alliance, a dangerous coming together of world powers with Russia that hasn't been around now for 20 years in the Middle East. Skip?
Yeah, that's exactly right. As we withdraw and this vacuum is filled by people who are not liberal democratic in their values, these are people who are very set in their values and what they want to do, and they're autocratic in their ways of governing, they are going to impose an autocratic system on the Middle East, which controls most of the oil for the world, and this cannot bode well for the Western world.
But Jordan, you said this before, and I think we got to reiterate it. It's not he's doing this out of being naive. He really believes it.
Yeah, this is their number one foreign policy is not the eradication of terrorism, but it's something on climate change. And again, much like their strategy to defeat ISIS, which is kind of non-existent, there's not much strategy coming out of this climate conference either. I mean, most of the developing world countries, some of the major polluters where their economies are kind of out of control from where government regulation is and rules are, they're not going to implement these kind of procedures. And even in the U.S., this would face stiff opposition from conservative members of Congress, which control both the House and the Senate. So it's a lot of talk about an issue that ultimately it's not going to be handled by the Obama administration, whether they think it's very serious or not. But the focus, the amount of attention, the amount of human resources put on this, it's pretty staggering in the face of the crises the world faces as we speak.
All right, folks, we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Final rapid-fire round coming up. And again, support our work at the ACLJ. We're in their matching challenge, about $300,000 behind where we need to be, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
sounded like Ricky Skaggs. That was with our band. By the way, for those, I mentioned this on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to be recording a Christmas special for TV on Tuesday night. We're going to let you watch us doing that with our band as we put the TV special together Tuesday night. You'll be able to watch it on Facebook and Periscope as we're putting it together. I'm getting a lot of questions on why these are not impeachable offenses, and they're not impeachable offenses because they're not high crimes or misdemeanors. These are policy decisions, and a bad policy decision or policy, that's the price of an election. Elections have consequences. If the president puts a policy position in place, you don't get to say, you know, I don't like it, therefore it's not going to happen or you should be impeached. Nope. The election has consequences. Barbara's calling from Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
About that woman that called in earlier about global warming.
Yep.
Yeah, that could be a problem. But ISIS is from the research I've been doing and from what I've been learning either through you or other.
Right.
That ISIS is worse.
Well, here's the thing. Skip, you were saying this. Regardless of whether there's climate change threat or not a climate change threat, and there's a lot of the science going back and forth on this, and I tend to think it's blown way out of proportion. The reality is a nuclear weapon in the hands of ISIS or Iran would be devastating for world well-being.
Exactly right. Remember that the half-life of this stuff goes for hundreds and thousands of years, and therefore it would render big parts of the continent unlivable. So it would kill many people, and it would also render parts of the continent unlivable. And people talk about a possible of a nuclear winter. That can't be good. So we want to keep nuclear weapons out of the hands of people who have apocalyptic visions like the Iranians do.
Yep. David's calling from Fresno, California, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Hey, David.
Hi, Jay. Thanks a lot for all you do. Jay, I have a question
sure.
for you. If Iran reneges on this agreement they supposedly have,
yep.
do we have any economic recourse? Has all that money been doled out, all the millions and millions of dollars they've been holding?
Hundreds of millions. So it's a good question. First of all, there's not a deal to get out of because, as Skip has said and Jordan brought up last week as well, there's no deal been signed here. So, I'm glad we're able to talk about that because no deal has been executed. Everybody needs to understand that. There is not a signed document between the United States, the P5 plus one, the other countries of the UN, and the Iranians. This is a gentleman's agreement. And I use that term in the loosest sense possible. So there is no agreement, David, number one. Number two, what Jordan's concerned about, I'll let him address this, is even if you can reassert the sanctions, there'll be a whole group of countries that won't do it.
I think it would only be the United States that ultimately would do it quickly, and potentially that's because of just the political makeup of our country right now, and even that could be in question of how long that would take. But ultimately, I can't see the rest of the P5 plus one and most of the rest of the world saying, because the U.S. is telling us we're now going to do this. Those international agreements that were put in place have been repealed, so the countries are no longer beholden to those.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you on your headset there. We're gonna work on that as we take some more calls here. Let's go ahead with Janice calling out of Illinois. Janice on line one. Hi, Janice.
Good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to say I've really enjoyed your program.
Thanks.
And agree with all of it. And as far as the lady that's concerned about no fish in 30 years,
yeah.
I think ISIS is way ahead of our concerns for today. And maybe if her and others like her would quit drinking so much of the Obama Kool-Aid, that would not only cut down on water use, but it would help a lot of other things with the environment if they could get their heads turned on right.
But they actually, Janice, the thing is, they believe this stuff. So no matter what we say, and I agree with you, and I appreciate you calling, they believe this. They believe that climate change is the greater threat than ISIS, and that you heard her say the apologetic on why. And you heard the president say, and I'm not going to play it again today, but I played it twice. He really believes it. He thinks this is the great threat, and this is how they view the world. Lindsay's calling from Boise, Idaho. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Jay. My comment is on the whole climate change
yep.
issue. When I was growing up, it was called global warming. But
right.
can't we really just call it what it is? It's weather.
Yeah.
And I believe this whole topic is really just another meaningless distraction from the real issue threatening the security and, more importantly, the unity of the United States citizens. And the more we're divided, no matter what the topic, the weaker we are as a country.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think, Lindsay, you hit it right. Exactly correct. And the fact is, not only is it a distraction, but we've got a real threat going on in the region right now, and we've got Russia in the middle of it, which does not bode well. I mean, you got, you know, we forget it was just a week ago that the Turkish the government took down a Russian fighter jet. And then, Skip, what's kind of the latest on that one?
Well, right now, the Turkish president has said he regretted that that happened. He has not apologized, but he said he's regretted. The Russians are imposing all sorts of economic sanctions on Turkey. And now what I've read is that the Turks are considering whether they're under threat of war and may shut down the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus for Russian shipping from the Black Sea into the Mediterranean. So this thing could ratchet up relatively quickly.
Realistically, though, do you think that the Turks don't want to have that conflict? I mean, they may have tried to flex some muscle here, but to fight by closing the Dardanelles, that would be an act of war to the Russians. I mean, that would be an act of war.
Well, and under one of the articles of the convention, if they think there's an imminent war, they can shut it down.
Sure.
And then that is not an act of war in and of itself, if they can determine that.
But it would be for the Russians.
It would be for the Russians, but then if they attack, then they're the ones who would be the ones initiating.
I still can't figure out why the Turks did that. I mean, it just to me makes no sense.
They could have escorted that plane out of their airspace and say, "Don't ever do this again."
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read, but the Israelis have said if the Russians overfly their territory, they will not be shot down.
Right.
So they've come to an agreement. The Turks could have also.
Yeah, it's a bizarre twist. I'm going to take some more calls off air. We're going to do it really quickly. Randy, go ahead, please.
My question is this. If global warming causes terrorism, well then, how come it doesn't affect Christians or Hindus or Buddhists? And how much global warming did we have back in 1941 when Pearl Harbor?
I think the global warming thing, I think what Randy is, I think this is a great distraction. The president's using this as a distraction to say this is how he's dealing with global terrorism. He's going to have climate change conferences. I don't think there's any way you can justify it. Georgina is calling from Illinois on line 5. Hey, you're on the air.
Yes, Jay, thank you for
really quick
supporting
here.
Israel.
Yep.
Okay, my question is, why is Obama, he is actually trying to get oil rigs put off the Carolinas and Florida. Isn't that against global warming?
Well, he doesn't want those rigs in off the coast. So all that's because of environmental impact. Everything is being motivated here by environmental impact. Shelly's calling from Hamilton, Mississippi. Looks like on line 2. Shelly, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
It's wonderful to speak with
you. Thank you.
In my opinion, our biggest issue is terrorism.
Yeah, we're having trouble hearing. You're saying the biggest issue is terrorism? We don't disagree. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we're in the last day. Today's it for our November matching challenge. We're a good bit behind where we need to be. So any amount you can donate to the ACLJ, it'll make a huge difference. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 is the way to do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you get my emails, you're going to be getting one today, and I encourage you to respond to it as the deadline approaches at midnight tonight. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 or again, ACLJ.org. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.